It's been 1,470 days since the Eagles hosted a playoff game at Lincoln Financial Field. Folks, we are just a half hour away from the divisional round showdown against the Atlanta Falcons. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to the kickoff show presented by Exalta. I'm joined alongside Frank Duffy as the Eagles are in the playoffs for the first time since the 2013 season and the divisional round since the 2008 campaign. For the Eagles to advance, they must knock off the defending conference champions, Fran, and they must do so with Nick Foles, number 9, leading the way at quarterback.
Nicky 6. This is going to be a huge test for him and this aggressive Atlanta defense, but I am so excited, Chris. I woke up this morning, and you could just kind of feel it. I think the whole city is buzzing, and then you get the highlight video getting released at 7:30 this morning. I think everybody is excited now for kickoff to finally only be about 30 minutes away.
So, Fran, as we analyze how the Eagles' offense, led by Foles, will attack the Atlanta defense, how would you go about it? How would you game plan this Falcons' very aggressive, fast-moving defense?
Well, I think that's one of the strengths of Doug Peterson and his staff is when they have faced defenses like this. You go back to last year when they played the Atlanta Falcons. You look at what they did against the Seattle Seahawks, the San Francisco 49ers, the LA Chargers, even schematically, philosophically, the Dallas Cowboys over the last few years. I think that this offense has done a really good job game planning against what they call fast flow defenses. These aggressive, speedy, second and third level defenders where they are flowing to the ball. Wherever they think it's going early, they're going to flow that direction. And so as an offense, the Eagles now have to try and really kind of play a little bit of magic trick with them, right? You're going to say, now you see me, now you don't. If you think we're going left, we're actually going right, vice versa. I'm really excited to see some of the different tricks that they pull out of their sleeve today.
Now, Frank, in 2016, as we see the running backs on the screen, the Eagles gained over 200 yards on the ground. How involved do you think the run game will be today against Atlanta?
So, I think that really is the key to this game is that it's going to be, in my eyes, an execution game for the Eagles offensive line because they are going to have to win up front in the trenches against this Atlanta front four. And now you're allowing that scheme from Doug Peterson to really kind of take hold because if the offensive line is getting pushed up front and they're able to get 3, 4, 5 yards a chunk, now you're going to say, okay, Doug Peterson, now the whole playbook is wide open. You're ahead of the sticks. You're able to get comfortable situations for Nick Foles to be able to set things up in the passing game.
Fran, let's talk about philosophy here for a second. Yep. Doug Peterson's been a very aggressive head coach, very aggressive play caller on offense. Do you think that maybe he's a little more conservative with the offense and maybe you see more heavy personnel packages knowing that the Falcons are likely going to load up the box figuring they're going to force Nick Foles to try to beat them through the air?
Well, I think that that's where you're going to start to see the chess match, right? Like, if they decide that they want to go heavy personnel, now the Falcons are going to be in their base defense with 4 defensive linemen, 3 linebackers. They like to play in their sub-package. So you're already putting them in a little bit of a disadvantage, saying, okay, you're going to take Brian Poole off the field, and we're going to put Vic Beasley back in coverage as a strong side linebacker. That's immediately a win for Doug Peterson in the offense. And then, if you want to try and spread them out, you put Zach Ertz and Trey Burton out into the slot, and now you're asking Vic Beasley to line up and in the slot. Now all of a sudden you have matchups that you can try and play with. I think that's going to be something that will be interesting to watch in this game. I think you're going to see the screen game. I think you're going to see a lot of misdirection. Maybe we'll see some jet sweeps from Nelson Aguilar. We saw that in Week 17 against Dallas. I think that those are the kinds of things you're going to see in this game. Really just find lots of different ways to attack this Atlanta defense.
All right, Fran, let's take a look at the starters on the offensive side of the football. So Nick Foles leading the way there, number 9 at quarterback. It's great to see that the offensive line is healthy and intact. Stefan Wisniewski missed a few games late in the season with an ankle injury. He's good to go. Of course, he had the bye week as well to get rested. You look at the tight end position, Zach Ertz leading the way there, but you have 2 talented backups. And Fran, to me, that's going to be key for the Eagles today to win in the middle of the field.
Yep.
Because the Falcons have good cover corners on the outside. Can the tight ends, whether it's Zach Ertz, whether it's Trey Burton, who maybe was an X factor, or Brent Celek even, the trusty veteran, can they dominate the linebackers and safeties of this Falcons unit?
Well, they've got some athletic linebackers, so it'll be interesting to see how the Eagles decide to pick their spots because you have Deion Jones, who's the Mike. You have Devondre Campbell, who plays a little bit of Will and Sam. It'll be interesting to see how the Eagles like those matchups in the passing game. And don't forget, too, that they've got the safety, Keanu Neal, who will play in-man coverage against those tight ends. And I think I agree with you. In the passing game, those are the matchups I really want to watch. But then you look into the trenches, and I look Halepulavati Vaitai going up against an Adrian Claiborne, Bourne and a Brooks Reed. Those guys are really good with their hands, and they find ways to win both inside and outside. That's a matchup I think is pivotal in this game.
All right, let's transition a bit to the defensive side of the football. So if you're Jim Schwartz, when you're creating the game plan, where do you begin?
You got to get after the quarterback. And really, that's going to be important. But to me, the number one thing, they have to stop the run in this game. The Falcons were number 3 in the NFL in yards per carry. They were number 11 in terms of yards per game. They want to run the football with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. If you make them one-dimensional, if they early in this game can stop the run and make them one-dimensional, now you're allowing the front four to get after the quarterback. So number one, stop the run. Number two, get after the quarterback. I think good things will happen. I'm not going to get too complicated. We're going to keep it simple. Stop the run has got to be priority number one for this Jim Schwartz defense.
Is it more of a challenge because not just of how balanced the Falcons are on offense, but because Freeman and Coleman, the dynamic duo running back, that they can catch the ball out of the backfield and that they're a threat in the pass game as well?
Yeah, and then it gets back into what we talked about with the other side, right? They're going to try and pick their spots to find those matchups. To me, one thing I noticed was when you saw both backs on the field, Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, the ball often was going to Tevin Coleman in the passing game, whether it was that down the field on a wheel route, over the middle of the field, in the quick game, in the screen game. They want to find ways to get him the ball in space. So Michael Kendricks, Nigel Bradham, those guys have to be on top of their game in coverage because he's one of the bigger game breakers in the NFL at that running back spot.
All right, let's take a look at the starters on defense. And number 91, Fletcher Cox, leading the way there, Fran. That is going to be an integral matchup there. Both Cox and Jernigan must win against the interior of this Falcons offensive line.
That's, to me, probably the biggest matchup to watch defensively and the one that really leans in the Eagles' favor. I think Ike Reese made a great point a couple weeks ago in Eagles' game plan that the best players in Eagles' history, you think back to Brian Dawkins and Jeremiah Trotter and Hugh Douglas, those guys all had signature playoff moments. And for Fletcher Cox, this is a great opportunity to have that signature playoff moment. If he comes out here and has 2.5 sacks and a forced fumble that leads to a touchdown, those are the kinds of things that resonate with fans. And as the guy that is the leader of that defense and the guy that can be relied on to be the big play man on that side of the ball, this is a great opportunity in a matchup that he should win on the inside.
For Fletcher Cox, this is only the second time that he's been in the playoffs, been with the team since 2012, 12th overall pick that year. He was with the team in 2013, the last time they made the postseason in that loss to New Orleans in the wildcard round. Hasn't been back here since until today. Now, we haven't mentioned Julio Jones yet. You go back to last season, 2016, Julio got his. 10 catches over 100 yards. Nice outing, but really wasn't an impact player in that game. When you look back at the tape, Fran, it seemed like the Eagles didn't do anything overly special to cover Jones.
Yeah, they played a good amount of zone coverage, but on 16 of the 32 dropbacks, they played man coverage with no safety help. So, you saw Jalen Mills one-on-one, you saw Nolan Carroll one-on-one, you saw Malcolm Jenkins one-on-one at times with Julio Jones, again, with no safety help. Could they do that again this week? We'll see. It'll be interesting to see if they decide to go with that same route or if they do some of the things we've seen them do in the past, against Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh, against Pittsburgh last year, against Odell Beckham in the past, against Dez Bryant in the past. You've seen the Eagles use multiple defenders over a big-time receiver like that. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to mix things up from a coverage standpoint. But remember, you can't give help everywhere. So if you're going to give extra help to covering Julio Jones, you're going to have one less defender in the box. So you have to be able to pick your spots, know where to give extra help to if you want to stop the run or if you want to stop Julio on the outside.
Matt Ryan, last four postseason games, 71% completion percentage, 10 touchdowns, no interceptions. How do you think the Eagles will have to get to him? I know you said that's the priority after stopping the run game. How do you think the Eagles can do that?
They got to win those matchups on the inside. The two guards for Atlanta have not been great this year. They're missing the left guard, Andy Levitre, so they've got some backups in there. Ben Garland, number 63 on the left side. That's the guy that they want to try and target. So I guarantee that they're going to try and create one-on-one matchups for Fletcher Cox in the passing game against the left guard, Ben Garland. You have the center, Alex Mack. Had a solid season. Not a great season. Solid season. Those are the matchups the Eagles have to win.
There's a certain play in particular in the run game that you think the Eagles need to be aware of.
Yeah.
The toss play.
Yes.
What is that they should be
wary of.
The toss play is really when you're going to see, obviously, the running back is catching a toss play to the perimeter, but then also you're going to see those receivers come from the perimeter and block down. It's going to be a crack toss play. So you're going to see the defense they're going to try and out-leverage the defense. To me, that's going to be one of the plays that the Eagles have to defend here, because that's a play that hurt them last year a lot. Chris Thompson, his game-winning touchdown in the Redskins game, was off that same play. They gave up some other big runs from that concept. I think that the Falcons will try to run this crack toss play to the outside.
All right, so we're going to have the coin toss for you a little bit later on in the show, Fran. If you're the Eagles and say you win the toss, now we have Ron Jaworski, Jeremiah Trotter going out there to help with the coin toss today. Should the Eagles win, should the Eagles accept or defer?
So you get two different sides of looking at it, right?
Exactly.
To me, do you want to start fast on offense, get the ball? Hey, we want to go down and score? Sure. But to me, I think you defer. I think you push that ball and say you're going to take the ball at the beginning of the second half, give yourself an extra possession there to start the third quarter. I think that to me, would be the way to go.
Get the crowd into it.
Yes.
Almost 70,000 fans, they are going to be ready to go to make Lincoln Financial Field truly electric. So, Fran, we will see you on the postgame show presented by Rico. Now, he talked about Alex Mack in just a few moments ago. This Eagles game is going to feature one of the best centers, actually the best center of all football this year, in Jason Kelce. He was shut out of the Pro Bowl, but he was named an All-Pro for the first time in his career in 2017. He spoke with Eagles Hall of Fame wide receiver Mike Quick in this one-on-one interview about his game and a whole lot more.
First of all, Jason, congratulations on getting to where you are. What do you like most about where this team is right now?
I just think we've had a great team all season long, great group of guys that have really stuck together.
Hey! Come on, baby. Come on. Come on, give me a little shoulder shot. Boom!
Boom! It's just been a really, really fun season so far.
You've got a lot of guys over the season that have gone down. How have you guys been able to keep it together with all the, you know, you started with JP and all the injuries you've had along the offensive line?
If you told me before the season the guys that we had go out, you know, it would have been hard-pressed to tell you that we'd be where we are right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guys that we've lost, you know, starts with Jason Peters, future Hall of Famer, incredible player. You know, Darren Sproles on offense. Carson Wentz obviously was having an MVP season.
Well, nobody wants to see this. Carson Wentz is going off to get looked at in the locker room.
It's really been remarkable with, you know, we haven't just lost players, we've lost key players and key leaders.
Right.
And, you know, I think it really speaks to the testament of this front office and the team that they put together.
So, Jason, you're a two-time Pro Bowler. I have the advantage of having the bird's eye view, and I've watched every snap you've played this year from the booth. I thought you should have been in the Pro Bowl this year. Were you disappointed that you were not?
I think whenever those names get called and you feel like you deserve to be there, it's natural to be a little bit disappointed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was. But, you know, at the end of the day, the two guys who are going, in my mind, from the NFC, Alex Mack and Travis Frederick, are incredible players in their own right.
Gotcha.
Who have both had great seasons as well. So, you know, while, you know, it's a little bit disappointing that you don't get it, you don't get that accolade, for me, especially with the season I had last year, I'm just happy to be being back to considered a top-tier guy.
I don't know what you're looking for on your ballot. I mean, this guy is unbelievable on the perimeter. Center, number 62, Kelce.
Talk about your perimeter play a little bit, because I think that's one of your better assets, your ability to get out on the edge and the things that you do out there. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm an undersized guy, and I have a certain amount of skills and strengths that, you know, go with that. And one of the things that I think I do really well is blocking space. I can do extremely well out in the open. I mean, anytime I'm on a linebacker, I consider it a disadvantage for the other team.
Jason, congratulations on a fantastic season, and best of luck in the playoffs.
Thank you, Mike.
You got it.
Thanks, Mike and Jason, and congrats to Kelce on a phenomenal 2017 season. Hope he keeps it rolling into the playoffs. Now, one of the things that we want to check out here are the key matchups. Kelce against Grady Jarrett, that's a big one, but is it the most important in this showdown? We've got two to feature here, one on offense and one on defense. And to break them down, let's bring in the Eagles game plan crew.
and give us a couple matchups that you think the Eagles can win. Ike Reese, who are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at our defense with this Falcons offense. Obviously, it starts with Matt Ryan. You got to be able to disrupt him in the pocket, get him off the spot to affect what they want to do offensively. Last week, they struggled with the Rams at times with Aaron Donald. And even last year, if you take a look at the video here against the Eagles, you can see where Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, they get what they want, one-on-one matchups. Fletcher does a great job. No guard in this league can block Fletcher Cox one-on-one. And sometimes we like to switch the two guys, put Fletcher on the outside, put Brandon in the inside. I think that personnel versus Atlanta's interior linemen is advantage us. If you're going to slow down this Falcon offense, it starts with disrupting number two in the pocket, and that's going to start with our interior defensive linemen getting after the quarterback.
And for the Eagles' offensive line, is there a matchup the Falcons are looking at that the Eagles need to watch out for?
It's actually the counter of what Ike was saying. So the Eagles are going to have to protect Nick Foles. And it really starts with the offensive line and making sure that on the left side, where Vitae is going to be lined up, you're going to see Adrian Claiborne. And he made his name in the Dallas game where he had six sacks. But Vic Beasley coming off the other side, that's where they're going to have to make sure that they're very good. If you watch this play, it's Claiborne, and he's really good with this speed and then swipe on the outside, getting around the edge to the quarterback. But all across the board, they have the ability to get pressure on the quarterback. So that's going to be, in my mind, the key, because the Eagles are going to have to throw the ball some. Yeah, you want to run the ball against that defense, but when it comes to passing the football, they have to be able to protect on the outside.
No surprise to me, when you get to this time of the year, it's all about line play. Your offensive line versus their defensive line and vice versa, that typically decides who's going to win the game.
Please, 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 Big V, do not let that happen to Nick Foles today. All right, later on in the show, we're going to have the pregame festivities live. It's an amazing show you are not going to want to miss. On the other side, we're going to have the key storylines as well as the players to watch. However, if you're following us on Facebook or Twitter, it's time to come on over to PhiladelphiaEagles.com or the Eagles app for more exclusive coverage. We'll have all that and much more right after this break. Welcome back. Now, the Falcons' defense has two very good cover corners on the outside in Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford. So the Eagles might want to stay away from those guys and focus on the middle of the field. So my player to watch today is wide receiver Nelson Agholor, who is making his playoff debut. The 2015 first-round pick has a nice matchup in the slot against cornerback Brian Poole. For the other players to watch, let's welcome in the Hall of Fame duo of Merrill Reese and Mike Quick.
Thanks, Chris. Nice, crisp football weather here at the link.
It's cold.
But yeah, a little bit. Who's your guy to watch?
Well, the one reason why the Eagles are an underdog today in their own house is because of quarterback Nick Foles. It's the quarterback instead of Carson Wentz. And because of that, I want to focus my attention on the quarterback, Nick Foles. I think that he has to play, not win the game, but he just has to make a play somewhere along the way that's going to help this team.
Mike, I think the people to watch are 70,000 fans who will jam in here today at Lincoln Financial Field and really give it to the Falcons offense. And that's why I think number 91, Fletcher Cox, will be coming in disrupting things.
That's a good one.
Okay, that's it for us. Now back to you, Chris.
Thanks, Merrill and Mike. Now, the Eagles have allowed just 231 points at home over the last two seasons, the best mark in the NFL, so it's no surprise that they are 13-3 over that time span. That's my storyline to follow. For the others, let's bring in the dynamic duo of Eagles insider Dave Spadaro and Alex Smith.
Chris, we're outside the Exalted Tunnel Club, and yes, we do have some storylines. Alex, you begin.
Well, Dave, when the Eagles have the ball today, one of the things that I'll be focusing on is how often they go with the heavy set, the three tight end package, and use Zach Ertz and Brent Celek and Trey Burton as playmakers over the middle of the field, because I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to be expecting the run. They're going to be expecting a lot of Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount, so maybe draw those linebackers up, show run with the three tight end set, and then use the quick passing game over the middle. I think that could be a key to success today for the Eagles.
And that obviously puts a level of responsibility on quarterback Nick Foles, who I think really has to start well, keep this crowd engaged, and make some big throws. You know, you can't just run the football in a playoff game and score points. Nick Foles has to show up, make plays, and get to off to a very good start early.
Yeah, and then when the Falcons are on offense, obviously Julio Jones is going to get a lot of the attention. But I'm going to keep my eyes on the running backs today as receivers out of the backfields in Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. They combined for nearly 60 catches this year, 600 yards, to go along with 1,500 rushing yards. So they can certainly hurt you through the air as well.
I think the running game is critical to stop. The Eagles must force a good Atlanta Falcons offense into third and long situations, then get after Matt Ryan, bang him around a little bit, hit him, play some physical football, but it starts on first and second down for this Eagles defense. Chris, back to you at the NovaCare Complex.
Thanks, Dave and Alex. Kickoff is almost here, so one final break, and then we'll send it over to the link.
The great thing about this game is that it's on NBC for everyone to witness. However, you can still listen to Merrill and Mike on Sports Radio 94 WIP or the desktop version of PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Once the game is over, come on over back to the PhiladelphiaEagles.com or the Eagles app, where I'll be joined by Ike Reese, Fran Duffy, and Greg Cosell for the post-game show presented by Rico, which will include analysis, highlights, and live reaction from head coach Doug Peterson and quarterback Nick Foles. For all of us here at the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm Chris McPherson, and thanks for joining us here on the kickoff show presented by Exalta. Enjoy the Eagles and the Falcons.
Man, I can't explain it. Just walking down these hallways, all those memories just start flooding back.
And it is caught. He does have a first down.
It's gone!
A walk-off field goal, David Akers.
But this is a new team, and this team has been on an unbelievable journey so far. The miracles.
It's gone! 61 yards!
The plays that blew your mind.
Corey Clement, he can't be stopped.
Firing, what a catch!
The trials that could have broken others. This city has been waiting on another team with heart like this one. So let's keep this train moving. Keep these memories growing so that we can do what this city believes we can do.
Whatever it takes.
This is our day because we're going to make it our day. We will stay together, and whatever it takes, let's make it happen!
I'll do what it takes.
23, Nigel Bradham. Cornerback number 41, Ronald Darby. Cornerback number 31, Jalen Mills. Safety number 23.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
number 27. I used to own snowflakes, but I'm Jenkins.
You can call me CEO of the ROC. Ho, fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper, bearing my name. Got the hottest chicken.
Please welcome Grace Stettman from Chalfont, Pennsylvania. Today's Snapple Coin Toss VIP. Joining today's captains are Eagles Legends Community Honorary Captains Jeremiah Trotter and Ron Jaworski.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Congratulations and good luck this evening. Atlanta, you are the visitors. What is your call?
Tails.
He's called Tails. It is Tails.
We'll defer to the second half.
Atlanta has deferred. You want the ball? Which way you want to kick?
That way.
Stay where you are. Philadelphia receive in the first half. Good luck, gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we honor America, we ask that you please rise, remove your hats, and members of the Armed Forces and Veterans salute. Our nation's colors are presented by the Philadelphia Police Department Honor Guard and Eagles season ticket members. At the conclusion of the anthem, please direct your attention overhead for a flyover performed by the 177th Fighter Wing. Performing our national anthem, please welcome Dr. Jesse McGuire.